to begin with, and we had the reading there a while ago from Psalm 139. Go back and look at that verse for just a moment, would you? Psalm 139 and in verse 13. Listen to how the psalmist describes the amazing beauty of who you are, of how we are made, of our relationship with God. And by the way, I'm going to tell you right now what I'm talking about for a title or an idea for this lesson right here. I want you to walk out those doors today, and I want you to know that in God's mind, you are something that is extremely precious. And if you understand that, it will help your service. If you understand that, it will help you to recruit others to come. If you understand that you are that way and other people are that way, then you will encourage them to recognize that as well. But listen to what he said. He said, you formed my inward parts. You put me together. You made me. And none of this was known. None of this was obvious. But you knew even the days that I would have to live. Isn't it amazing that God knows the things that we... He knew whenever He made me that this moment would eventually come. And He knew the moments that we have yet to be revealed to us would come. And so whenever I read these verses right here, I'm just humbled. I mean, I am just brought to my knees. That my God thought so much of me, that He spent so much time on me. Rayno killed me, and sometimes I do this, and I always pay for it, but I'm a man and I never learn, you know. We do jobs sometimes, don't we? And we don't do a very good job of it. I was really, really busy one time, and I told Rayno, I said, you're going to have to mow the yard. You know, you're going to have to mow the yard. Well, she got out there, and I have no idea what that woman did with that mower. But she hit only about half the yard, and there'd be pieces sticking up here, and then there'd be a whole bunch of it all cluttered together here. And around the trees, why, there was grass growing 5 foot around the trees. And I know she could have got closer, and then here she coming. Did you get her done? Yeah. Well, I get on the mower. I get on the mower, cachet. I start mowing. She comes out. She throws something down. I will never mow again, she said. And I said, honey, you didn't do a good job. You just half mowed the yard. But when God made me and when God made you, He cut no corners. He was meticulous. Whenever He looked at us, and when He formed us, and when He made us, and He said, this is going to be a masterpiece. Me? You? A masterpiece? Yes. You are. And that is how God formed you. But so many times, we have people that are walking around, and we're trying to get them to come to the Lord, and they say, I'm not worth anything. Oh, yes, you are. And we hear people that say, how could God love me, the things that I've done? Let me tell you something. He made you. You were His masterpiece. And if there is a relationship that is severed between you and your God, you are the one that severed it, not Him. He still loves you. You are still special. He still remembers the day that He made you and the days that He has ordained for you and all the precious thoughts that He has for you. That's on you, it's not on God. Because, in His eyes, oh, you were so special. And you will amount to whatever you put into your life. God understands that. God knows that. You know, together with you and God working with you, there is no limit to what you and I can accomplish in this life. No limit at all. And I'll tell you why that is. And that is because you and I are made in the image of God. Now, not the physical image, because in John chapter 4 and verse 24, the Lord speaking to the woman at the well there in Samaria said, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so whenever we take on the image of God, there in Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion, if you will, over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the cattle and over all of the earth and over every creeping thing. Now look at verse 27. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. What does that mean? I am a spiritual individual as God is. I have a soul that is eternal, that will live forever. This life is not all that there is. You are special because you are spiritual. You are special because you're going to have an eternal soul that's going to live forever. What are you going to do with it? I mean, how are you going to treat it? Where are you going to send it, if you will? Now that is true. Whether you're a Christian or whether you're a drunk, you've got a soul. That soul is eternal. That is true. I don't care if you are a faithful marriage partner or a prostitute. I don't care. You've got a soul, and God loves that soul, and that soul is eternal. I don't care if you are a model citizen or a murderer, you've still got a soul. God still loves you. God still considers you precious. Now, will He save you in those conditions? No, you understand that. You know that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the mindset and the heart to try and get people to understand what God thinks of them, so that we can bring them back into the fold. You know, it's not going to be what we have done either. It's going to be what God does through us when we offer Him our service and our obedience. Because whenever we look at this, whenever we consider the things that God has prepared for us, you know, there ain't nobody loves us like God does. You know, your mama used to take care of you, and your mama used to take up for you, you know. It's always been that way. And you could always depend on mama to say the things that ought to be said, or to hopefully, you know, to encourage you and everything. God cares more for you than mama ever did. Let me read you a story. Thomas Edison came home from school one time, and he handed his mother a paper. And his mother said, Thomas told his mother, said, now the teacher gave me this, and she said, you take this home, and you don't let anybody read it but your mama. So he took it home, he gave it to mama. And his mama's eyes all teared up, and she took the paper, and she and said, mama, read it out loud. I want to know what my teacher said. Well, she said, your son is a genius. This school is too small for him. It doesn't have enough good teachers to train him. Please teach him yourself. And she looked at Thomas and smiled, and Thomas just felt so warm inside. Thomas's mom died, and many, many years later, he was going through some stuff. And he found a crumbled up piece of paper, folded up piece of paper in a jewelry box. He unfolded that and he read these words. Your son is addled. Your son is, in other words, he's mentally ill. He's mentally incapable. Your son is addled. We will not let him come to school anymore. Now I want you to think about something for a moment. I want you to put yourself in Edison's place here. Edison cried for hours and hours, and then he wrote in his diary, he said, Thomas Alvin Edison is an adult child that had a hero mother that became a great genius of the century and a great inventor. If his mother thought that much of him could bring that kind of power out, what can you and I do whenever we understand that God cares more than Edison's mother did? That God cares more about us and He thinks that we are so special. And He's just looking for us to do these good things and these wonderful things and create things in this life. Why? Because we are made in His image. Wonderfully made, the psalmist has said there. Now I'm going to tell you something else. I want you to understand this week that Jesus died for you. Not only are you precious in God's sight, but I want you to also understand that Jesus died for you. This story has been so watered down. The emotion has been taken out of this by so many of our brethren that we just fail to understand what has really happened in our spiritual history, in our spiritual world. We have failed to see what Jesus Christ accomplished in 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 18. He said, Christ suffered for sins once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and made alive in the spirit. You understand what that means? Do you understand what Peter is telling us here? Do you understand what Jesus said in John 15 and verse 13? He said, greater love has no man than that he will lay his life down for his friend. Jesus did that for you and I. He didn't have to die. He wanted to die. He willingly died. Why? Because I am so special. And everybody that you're going to meet in this life, in this town, in this county, in this state, in this world, everybody is special. That's why He died. Somebody will say to me, and I've had it said so many times, yeah, maybe for him, you know, because he's a good man. You know, maybe Jesus did that for her because she's such a sweet person. She's so wonderful. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5 with me. I want you to look at verse 6. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He had in mind who He wanted to save. He had no need of saving the perfect man or woman. No, I need the ungodly. I'm dying for the ungodly. He said, and scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even die. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to stop and think about one thing for me. You have a child. I want you to pick one of them. I want you to pick one of your children. Now, there was a man that was electrocuted in Tennessee this past Thursday night for crimes he had committed years and years and years ago. And they had a cell phone in there hoping that there would be some kind of transaction that would happen, his lawyer, where his client would not be killed that night. Would you have given your son? Would you have given your daughter? Understanding that this man came into a family, a man and a wife, and he shot them and he slit their throats and he robbed them, even though that they would have given him the valuables and let him walk out. You gonna give your boy? You gonna give your girl? That's what God did. That is what God did for you and I. And if the price paid for something reflects its value, how valuable are you that God gave Jesus? Oh, I tell you. You know, there was a book that a man by the name of Robert Coleman wrote. He told a true story about a little boy. And this little boy had a sister and she needed a blood transfusion. Or she was going to die. And so they did the test and everything, and they figured out that Johnny was a match. That, he could give a transfusion of blood to his sister, Mary. And so they asked him, would you give Mary your blood? His lips started to quiver. He began to bite on his lips. Big tears welled up in his eyes. He said, sure. For my sister, sure, I will. And so they began to prepare everything. They were wheeled into the room. Mary so pale, Johnny so robust. They began to hook everything up. And the needle goes into Johnny's arm. He doesn't complain or anything. He looks over at Mary and they smile at each other. He gives her a big victory fist like this. And then he turns to the doctor and he says, when do I die? And the doctor said, oh no, you're not going to die. We're just borrowing some of your blood to give to your sister and have a transfusion. But he was willing to die. He would have died. Why? Because he said, for my sister, yes. And God says, for my creation, yes. For the people that I love, for that soul, yes. Even though they have done these horrible things, yes. A million times, yes, yes. Because I love them so much. I'll tell you something else. God wants to adopt every one of us. I remember when my dad died and I was such a young man. It was heartbreaking. Me and my mom, I'll be honest about it. I love my mom, but we weren't as close as me and my dad. And I knew that my mom was sick and about to pass away. And Raina said, how do you think that this is going to affect you when it happens? And I said, well, I'll be sad. I don't think I'm going to be devastated over it. But I'll be sad whenever she passes away. Because we just weren't that close. Well, the call came and we couldn't stay. It was probably a month prior to her death. And we stayed about a week and then we came back. My brother called and said, she's gone. And I said, well, we'll be there in a couple of days. I got up the next morning. And I tell you what, there was a feeling that came over me. I now have no mama and I have no daddy. Now, I've got a wife. I've got a beautiful partner. But I have no mama and I have no daddy. And I told Raina, I said, I just feel so empty. And this is nothing against you. You understand that. I love you. I need you. And I will spend the rest of my life with you and feel comfortable with that. But I feel so empty right now. She later learned what that meant when her father passed away and her mother passed away. So we know firsthand what it's like to be an orphan. To need to be adopted by somebody. And I know that because in Ephesians chapter 5, or in chapter 1 and verse 5, he said he has foreordained us unto adoption. In other words, when God put this massive plan together of the plan of salvation of the gospel of his son, he said, here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it through my son and I'm going to adopt them as my children. According to the good pleasure of his will, he said. So we don't have to run around in this life feeling empty. Feeling like we have no one. Because indeed we do have someone. John the Apostle said, behold what manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. That we should be named in that family. How much love would it take for someone to pick an orphan off of the street and give them the family name and all the benefits. You know, one time, there was a little boy by the name of Stephen, and they tell the story that he was buckled into the back seat of a Toyota. He's still too little to set up, you know. He's like 7 years old, and he's already moved about 9 times in his life. He's an orphan. And they said whenever they got Stephen to where that they were taking him, they pulled out a trash bag. This young man's entire life is in that trash bag. Shoes, socks, clothes, underwear. Not much. A little bit. Everything is in this trash sack. And they eventually break and shred and pour out their contents, as do the hearts of little boys. And he was so teared up. It's another house. I don't know how many days I'll get to stay here, and then they'll usher me on somewhere else. But he said, I will gain what affection that I can. Well, this same person said it wasn't but about 3 weeks, and the lady called and said, I can't have him no more. We just can't handle it. You're going to have to come get Stephen. And the guy said, whenever I went to pick him up, he said, I put him in the car. I put his little trash bag back there. And he started crying. He said, I could barely hold back any tears myself. And said, I turned around and I said, Stephen, why are you crying? He said, 'cause nobody loves me. Nobody wants me. Not even the mother that gave me up. Don't you ever say that. Because God wants you. God loves you. God wants to adopt you. He wants to bring you into His family. He allowed His own Son to give His life that it might be possible. So do not ever tell me nobody loves you, because they do. And don't you let anybody tell you that you're trying to invite to the gospel. God would not love me because He does. He always has. He cares so much for you. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, he said, I know the thoughts I have for you. They're thoughts of peace. I shared that with you this morning in that lesson. Oh, I tell you what, if we just have God on our side, we can do so much. And if I can just make you understand how much that God cares about you and your soul. How much that He wants to cooperate with you. You know, there was a little boy one time, and there was this concert pianist, and he was going to give a rendition there, whatever they call it, I don't know. He's going to play, you know, before all these people. And before he came out, there's this little boy in the audience. He slipped away from his mom and daddy and come around behind the curtains there, and he got up on the piano and chopsticks. Dun, 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 dun. And his mom and daddy, they just, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? What is he? He's got away. He's embarrassed us to death. What are we going to do? And all the crowd is just looking around like, well, whose kid is this? And the master pianist comes out, and he's like this to the crowd. He whispers to the little boy. He said, keep going, keep going. Dun, 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 dun. He's doing the chopsticks. The master pianist gets on both sides of him, and he begins to fill in all the blanks. And they said the whole crowd just stood up and cheered. Said it was the most amazing song that they had ever heard. The collaboration between him and this little boy. And it just goes to show that you and I, whenever God wraps His arms around us and whenever God says, keep doing what you're doing. It may be imperfect in your eyes, but I'm going to fill in the blanks. I'm going to fill in the blanks. And I'll tell you why. It's real simple. I love you. That's what God says. How often do we say that? How often do we let that, I love you. Now, what does that mean? I'm going to do anything and everything that I can for your well-being. God's done that for you. God has done everything that He can. He loves you so much. He wants you to be a child. He wants you to know that you are special. He wants all of these wonderful things for you. He wants to for you to understand that He gave the ultimate price in giving of His Son for you to do that, to have this opportunity. You know what? If you're not a Christian today, and you look at the offer that I've just given you through the Bible, where God says, I love you and I want you, and you say no to that, it is the most foolish decision that you have ever made in your life. If you're a Christian and you have strayed away from the faith, and I tell you, God in tears is looking for you to come back. You remember in Luke 15 and in those first few verses there where he's talking about the prodigal son, and the prodigal son went and wasted all of his father's money and his life and all of that, and now he wants to come back. Where's the father at in all of this? He's standing at the front door of the house or at the window of the house, and he's looking out just waiting for the boy to come. You know what that's what God's doing. He's looking out the window of heaven right now, and he's saying, that is my adopted son or daughter, and I know that they haven't lived the way that they should. But my heart is fluttering right now, because I see them coming down the road and they're coming home so that I can share them with the love that my son provided in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection. Do not pass on the opportunity today to take advantage of that while we stand and while we sing.